the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Volume 20, 120, 1927. And we're at the second paragraph. Jesus just said, my infinite wisdom could never allow that the communion of my divine will be limited in any way for the souls who are going to live in the divine will. He says, on the other hand, the sacramental communion was not given as origin of the creatures, or nor as the end for humanity, but was given as a means, was given as a help, a refreshment, and a medicine. Okay, so Jesus is saying that the sacraments have been medicines for us. This is why, you know, as Catholics, we love the sacraments. We want Holy Mass. We want Holy Communion. We want this means, this help, this refreshment, this medicine that are given to us. And Jesus says, it's only given to us in a limited way. They're not perennial. So that's why we always want to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We always want to adore our God, our Savior, our King, our Master. And so it's the origin of our life. He says, basically, really, the sacrament of communion was not given as origin, but as a means, as a help, as a refreshment, as a medicine, okay, given in a limited way, not perennial. So what Jesus is showing us is what's coming upon the earth is we're going to go back to where we were before the fall, okay, back to our origin. So this is what he says. This is why the veils of the sacrament, the accidents, are subject to being consumed. Okay, so he says again, it's a great help. There is the great communion of the eternal fiat, and that is in the act of giving itself continuously to them. He says, so if the creatures love to receive me continuously, there is the great communion of the eternal fiat. So here, our Lord is saying, if you're longing for me, I mean, Holy Mass every Sunday. Again, you have to remember, Sunday Mass is the minimal that you can do once a week. And he says, those souls that want me more, he says, are getting ready to receive the great communion of the eternal fiat. And that is the act of giving itself continuously to humanity. He says, yet you are afflicting and almost troubling yourself as you were thinking that the sacramental species were consumed. Okay, so here Jesus is saying to Luisa, you are afflicting yourself because you don't understand what I'm going to do. You had no reason to afflict yourself, Jesus says. And again, worry, fear, doubts, anxieties, complaints, negativities, this is not for us. He says, because inside and outside of you, there is the communion of my most holy divine will that is not subject to undergoing any consummation. Okay, what does that mean? It's never ending. The communion of the divine will is never ending. He says, it's a life that is always in its fullness. Nor could my love tolerate that the little daughter of my divine will be unable to receive our divine life always, always, always new, always continuous. So what Jesus is showing us is, and this is why he says, you haven't seen anything yet. What's coming upon the earth is a new beginning for humanity. And we're going to be in that perennial communion with God that Adam had, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. We're never going to be separated from our God as we feel we are now. Because he says, your senses were made for God. This is what Jesus tells Luis in volume 36. Your senses were made for God. We're going to see God and smell God and taste God and touch God and hear God. This is what's coming. Our senses are going to be filled with God. So he says, you're longing for Holy Communion. You're longing to basically go on to the other side, if you want to say, a side of eternity. He says, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be filled with this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, the great gift of my divine will, where your communion will be even greater than what you are experiencing now. So he says in volume 21, February 26, 1927, after this, after having heard the exposition of the Most Blessed Sacrament was done in the church, I thought to myself, so here's Luisa. Luisa has been, she's been imprisoned, if you want to say, in her room for 40 years. And she says, she hears that there's going to be exposition. Now, when Luisa was a little girl, that's where she spent her time. She spent her time in communion with God in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And when you go to the church in Corrado, Our Lady of the Greca Church, there's a little square right before her tomb where she used to kneel and adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And Father Bucci, there's a video on the internet with Father Bucci explaining where he knelt, right where she knelt. He said, this is where she knelt as a little girl. And this helps us begin to understand that why the Lord chose her was she had a love for our Eucharistic Lord. And almost every saint that we have has a love for our Eucharistic Lord. And this is something that God wants to give to us so that he can fill us with more. So Luisa hears that there's the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. And she thought to myself, for me, there are neither expositions nor services. So here she's lamenting. She can't kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament anymore. She's in bed. She was obedient to Jesus. Jesus told her to go to bed and stay there. And for 40 years, she's thinking about this. What's astonishing is a few years from now, she's going to, in volume 25, she's going to be back with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament. She says, finally, after 40 years, finally, I'm with you, Jesus, and you're with me. This is the love that Luisa had for her Eucharistic Lord. Gives us a glimpse of what God is offering to us. So he says, Luisa, my daughter, for you, there is no need of exposition, because one who does my divine will has the greater and more continuous exposition that my divine will displays in the whole of creation. Even more, since each created thing is animated by the divine will, it forms innumerable expositions for as many things that exist. So here Jesus is teaching us what he is going to reveal to all of us, the innumerable expositions for as many things in creation. This is the rounds. You're beginning to see the I love yous in all of creation. You're beginning to experience these I love yous. And it's not just with your eyes or your ears, but you're entering into this divine I love you of God. He says, who forms my divine life in the Eucharist, it is my divine will. And if the sacramental host were not animated by my supreme will, the divine life would not exist in it. It would be a simple white host that would not deserve the adoration of the faithful. So here he's saying, who forms my divine life in the Holy Eucharist? My most holy divine will. And if the sacramental host were not animated by the supreme will of God, the divine life of God, the divine life would not exist. It would simply be a piece of bread, a white host that would not deserve adoration of the faithful. And this is what's something that's so magnificent. Our God is saying he's going to open our eyes to begin to experience the Eucharist in a way that for humanity today would be shocking in a positive way. Just like, oh, God, you're so amazing. So if the sacramental host were not animated by my supreme will, the divine life would not exist in it. It would simply be a white host, a piece of bread, not deserving the adoration of the faithful. Now, my daughter, my divine will makes its exposition in the Son. in the sky. Just as my divine will has veils of the host that conceals my life, so does it have the veils of that light that conceals it in the sun. So what's God saying? He's saying, this is again, the rounds of creation. As you begin to experience the I love yous, the fiats of God, as you experience it with the host, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, he says very clearly, my divine will makes itself, its exposition in the sun. So in the sun, we see the divine will. We see the fiat of God. In the rain, in the thunder, in the lightning, in everything that's around us. See, Jesus is opening our eyes to see the world as Adam did before the fall. Adam saw the I love you of God in all of creation. And all of creation saw the I love of God in Adam. Adam was the king of the earth. He ruled the earth. And whatever he said, the earth obeyed this child of God. We haven't seen that yet. Wait till you see what's coming. What's coming is a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II said. He says this, Jesus says this, so my divine will makes the exposition in the sun, just as my divine will has the veils of the host that conceals my life. And so it has the veils of light that is concealing my life, Jesus says, in the sun. So when we see what we're going to experience is what Adam experienced, the divine I love yous all around us. And it's speaking to us. So this is the reason why our Lord is saying, learn how to pray the rounds. Learn how to enter into this life of the I love you all around you. He says, everybody looks at the sun and doesn't even think of God. Looks at the water, doesn't even think of God. St. Thomas Aquinas says creation reveals the love of God. If we really begin to meditate on what is around us, we see the I love you of God. And we are filled with peace, joy, and happiness, knowing that this is all around us is an I love you. The stars at night are an I love you to us. And God says to Jesus says to Louisa, I want you to learn how to pray the rounds as Adam did. Pray the rounds as Jesus did, as Mary did, the new Adam and the new Eve. Our whole prayer life changes in the divine will. And then Jesus says this, oh, will of God, how incredible, how lovable, how invincible, how admirable you are, immutable in good, untiring, without ever drawing back. Then Jesus says, see the great difference between the exposition of the Holy Eucharist in which my divine will makes itself in a continuous act in all created things. And in that Holy Eucharist, man, this is us, humanity, must put himself out. So he has to go out of himself to draw near the Eucharist, to dispose himself to receive the good. Otherwise, he receives nothing. So what God is doing in our life, our lifetime, is we have the Eucharist in the Blessed Sacrament, I mean, Eucharistic Adoration, by going to, Peter does here with going to Poland to be with our Eucharistic Lord. Every one of us can spend time with our Eucharistic Lord on the internet. It's Jesus is there. You're seeing Jesus live. He's there. And you can adore him and love him and praise him and thank him. He comes into your house. I mean, this gift that God has given to us is we're not worthy of the Lord entering. Lord, you say with the world, don't enter into my roof, under my roof, but just say the word and I shall be healed. And what does Jesus say? I want to be with you. I want to be with the souls who want me. I want to spend time with them because they want to spend time with me. You have to understand, this is a glorious time to be alive. Don't fall into the misery where humanity is, the human will. Enter into the divine will. Watch the peace, the joy, the happiness that's going to fill us. This is what's so great, so glorious. And this is why our God is asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. So Jesus says this, man must go out, put himself out. He must go, he has to go himself, draw near to the Holy Eucharist, dispose himself to receive this good. Otherwise, he receives nothing. On the other hand, in the exposition of my divine will in created things, it is my divine will that goes out to man. So this is what Jesus is talking about, the rounds. When you pray your rounds, it's you're experiencing the divine will in all of creation that puts itself out. And even if he is not disposed, my divine will gives an abundance. It drowns him with its goods. And that yet there is no one who adores my eternal will with its many expositions. So here, Jesus is saying to Louisa, Louisa, your job is to adore my eternal will in all the expositions that I've given in creation. He says, there's nobody who's doing this. He says, when we learn to pray the rounds, everything changes for us. We become happy. We become joy-filled. We become peaceful. Why? You're adoring God's eternal will in all his expositions in creation. And he says it makes its exposition in the sea, in the ocean, while in the sun, it symbolizes the Eucharist and it gives its light, its heat, its innumerable goods, and it's always in silence. See, again, we begin to understand how God speaks. He speaks in silence. And we have to have ears to hear the silence. And again, you hear not with your ears, but with your heart, your mind, your soul. You begin to be filled with joy when you do your rounds of creation. You begin to be filled with joy when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Again, you're not reading a book. You're not praying your prayers. You're falling in love with God. This is why we have Eucharistic adoration. And the reason is you're falling in love with God with the rounds. You're falling with love with God of rounds of creation, rounds of redemption. Volume 21, 4, 16, 19, 27. My daughter, when I, God, do an act first, I look to see whether there is at least one soul in whom to place the deposit of my act, so that that soul may take the good that I, God, do and keep it safe and well defended. So here Jesus is saying, who is taking this I love you and keeping it safe? Who's defending this I love you? So he says, now when I instituted the most holy sacrament, I looked for this creature, and my queen mother offered herself to receive this act of mine and the deposit of this great gift, saying to me, my son, just as I offered you my womb and my whole being in order in your conception to keep you safe and defended, now I offer you my maternal heart in order to receive this great deposit. And I lined up all around your sacramental life, my affections, my heartbeats, my love, my thoughts, all of myself, Our Lady says, to keep you defended, surrounded by the cortege, loved and protected. I myself take on the commitment to repay you, Jesus, for the great gift you are giving. Trust your mother. I shall take care and of the defense of your sacramental life. And since you yourself have constituted me queen of all creation, I, Mary, have the right to line up around you all the light of the sun as homage and adorations, all the light of the stars of the heavens, all the water of the sea, all the inhabitants of the air. I, Mary, place everything around you to give you love and glory. You have a glimpse of how we are to pray to God. We're taking the prayer of the Blessed Mother, which she gave to Louisa. Louisa put down on paper for us to begin to understand how we pray, how the Blessed Mother prayed. Think about that. Using everything that Our Lady said, I offer you my whole being to keep you safe and defended. I offer you my heart in order to receive the great deposit. I offer you my affections, my heartbeat, my love, my thoughts, all of myself to keep you defended. I want to surround you with love and protect you. I make the commitment to repay you for the great gift you are giving. right. Trust in your little child. What linked with the Blessed Mother. And I will take care of defending the defense of your sacramental life. Why? I will be here to be with you. And since you yourself have constituted me little child of the divine will, I have a right to be with my Blessed Mother, to go around you with all the light of the sun as homage and adoration, all the stars, the heavens, and all of its inhabitants of the air in my rounds of creation. And I place everything around you. Why? To give you, Triune God, through your Savior, my Savior, Jesus Christ, the love and the glory that you deserve. It's to take what Jesus has given to Louisa and make it our own. This prayer, your whole prayer life changes when you begin to hear Our Lady's prayers, when you begin to hear our Lord's prayers. Now, ensuring a place for myself in which to put this great deposit of my sacramental life, trusting in my Mother Mary, who had given me all the proof of her faithfulness, this is what we're to do, giving Jesus all the proof of our faithfulness. He says, I instituted the Most Holy Sacrament. The Blessed Mother was the only worthy creature who could keep, defend, and protect my act. And we want to be that one with the Blessed Mother. See then, when a creature receives me, I descend into them together with the acts of my inseparable mother. Only because of this can I perpetuate my sacramental life. So here, the blood, the five drops of blood, Jesus says, of the Blessed Mother gave Jesus his human life. And when it's blood of her blood, bone of her blood, bone, flesh of her flesh that we receive as well. I remember when we were told that by my spiritual director in the seminary, he says, do we have a relic of the Blessed Mother? And everybody goes, no. And he goes, yes, we do. Every time we receive the Holy Eucharist, we're also with the Blessed Mother. Think about that. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is why our God wants us to receive this abundant life. See then, when the creature receives me, I, God, descended them together with the acts of my inseparable mother. Not only because of this can I perpetuate my sacramental life. Therefore, whatever I want to do a good work worthy of me, it is necessary that I first choose one creature. First, in order to have a place in which to put my gift. Second, to be repaid for it. So then he says, Louisa, I chose you. And you have to understand, with Louisa, God chooses us. You have to understand. Jesus says to Louisa, I prepared you, Louisa. And he's preparing us as well. With Louisa, I entrust to you, Louisa, the great gift of the manifestations of my divine will. And he gives to us. He is trusting to us the great gift of the manifestations of my divine will. These are the truths. These are the knowledges. These are the manifestations. These are the promises. These are the lessons that Jesus gives to Louisa. And now he's given to us. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, we begin to possess them. The more we focus on these truths, these lessons, these knowledges, these manifestations, these promises, these lessons of Jesus, the happier we become. Jesus is filling us. He says, I've entrusted to you, Louisa, and to your children, the great gift of the manifestations of my divine will. And just as I entrusted the destiny of my sacramental life to my beloved mother, in the same way, I wanted to trust you, Louisa, and your children, entrusting to you, Louisa, the destiny of the kingdom of my divine will. That's the promise Jesus is giving to us. Who would not want this? Who would not want to dive into this infinite ocean of love? Volume 22, 7/4/1927. I was doing my thanksgiving, praying my thanksgiving for what I received in Holy Communion. And I was thinking to myself, that I wanted to offer it to all to each inhabitant of heaven, to each soul in purgatory, to all the living who are and shall be, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. See, what Jesus is showing us is he wants us to pray the way he prayed. He wants us to pray the way Mary prayed. I was thinking to myself, I want to offer it to all humanity, past, present, and future, to each inhabitant of heaven, to every soul in purgatory, to all the living who are and shall be. That's what Jesus did. That's what Mary did. This life of Jesus and Mary is given to us. And not only to them, but I would like to give my sacramental life, my sacramental Jesus, to the starry heavens, to the flowery fields, in sum, to each created thing, in order to give Jesus the glory and the triumph of all his works. So here, this explosion of I love you is going through all of creation. See, we pray in the name of everything, everyone and everything. And not only to them, I would like to give my sacramental life to the starry heavens, to the flowery fields, and some to each created thing in order to give Jesus the glory and the triumph of all his works. But while I was saying this, I thought to myself, this is my usual nonsense. How can I form so many Jesuses? This is impossible. This is our question that we gave to Jesus through Louisa. This is nonsense. How can I form so many Jesuses? This is impossible for me. That's our doubt. That's our question. That's our worry that we gave to Louisa to go through, Jesus tells us, so he could answer us. All your answers are found in the book of heaven. All your questions are answered by Jesus himself. And listen to what Jesus says. My beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, just as in the sacramental host, there are little accidents of the bread, and your Jesus hides inside of them, alive and real. And as many Jesus, or as many as there are hosts, in the same way, listen to this, in the soul, there are the accidents of the human will, not subject to being consumed like the accidents of my sacramental life. Therefore, more fortunate and more solid. And just as the Eucharistic life multiplies in the host, so does my divine will multiply my life in each act of the human will, that more than accidents lends themselves to the multiplication of my life. So what Jesus is saying is every thought, every word, every deed that you do in the divine will, that in our human will, flows within God's holy divine will. And he says, I wanted to give me to each one, lends this multiplication of my life. He says that every thought, every word, every deed is a multiplication of Jesus. He wants us to participate in what he does. This is Jesus. It's not us. We want to do this. God goes, good, get out of my way. Let me do this. So more than accidents, it lends itself to the multiplication of my life. He says, as you were making your human will flow within mine and wanted to give me to each one, so, listen to this, was my divine will forming my life in yours. See, as you want this, this is what Jesus wants. He says, my divine will is forming my life in you. And from its light, it releases my life, giving me to each and every soul. And I, oh, how happy I, God, feel that the little daughter of my divine will was forming so many of my lives in the accidents of her human will, every thought, every word, every deed, in order to give me not only to animate creatures, but to all things created by me. So here is this multiplication of these divine I love yous in creation, redemption, and sanctification. He says, so as I was multiplying my life, I felt I was constituting myself king of all, king of the sun, king of the sea, king of the flowers, king of the stars, king of heaven, and some king of everything. Jesus, the king of kings and the Lord of lords. We're honoring him by multiplying this I love you of God and all of creation. So my daughter, the one who lives in my divine will, will possess within herself the font of the source of the sacraments, which is what? It's the fiat of God that can multiply me as much as she wants and in whatever way she wants. Do you see how your prayer life changes? You're bringing this divine I love you to all of humanity, past, present, and future, and all of creation. You're really forming your priesthood of the laity. It's to multiply Jesus as much as you want, to give to Jesus to not only your family, but the family of God, whatever way you want. See, Jesus is giving us the freedom to truly be sons and daughters of God. So she says, afterwards, I remained doubtful about the last sentence written above here above. And see, now that's our question, our doubts that we give to Louisa. So Louisa can say to Jesus, okay, I don't know about this. Jesus says, my daughter, the sacraments came out of my divine will like many little fountains, and I issued them from it, keeping in it the source from which each of these fountains continuously receive the goods and the fruits that each of them contains. But they act according to the disposition of those who receive them. Okay. So everything depends on our disposition with the sacraments. He says, so because of the lack of disposition on the part of creatures, the fountains of the sacraments do not produce the great goods that they contain. So this abundant life is not yet happened for humanity. I mean, how many people go to Holy Communion on Sunday? And how many become other Christs? That's what Jesus is saying. Many times they pour waters, but the creatures are not washed. Other times they consecrate, impress a divine and indelible character. But in spite of this, they do not appear to be sanctified. That's what Jesus is saying. What? Every Sunday, everyone who receives Holy Communion, they're consecrated, they're impressed with a divine and indelible character, but they're not yet sanctified. What's going on? How come this isn't happening? Another fountain gives birth to the life of your Jesus continuously, and they receive this life, but neither the effects nor of the life of your Jesus can be seen in these souls. So each sacrament has its sorrow because they do not see the fruits and the goods that they contain in the creatures. Now, for the soul who lives in my divine will, this is what Jesus is saying. If you want to live in the divine will, and if you let the divine will reign as in its own kingdom, since my divine will possesses the source of the sacraments, the fiat of God is the source. What is the wonder if one who lives in the divine will possesses the source of all the sacraments, feels within himself the nature of all the sacraments with all the effects and all the goods that they contain? So Jesus is saying, you haven't seen anything yet. When you begin to live in the divine will, the fullness of it, which nobody possesses, Louisa possesses it, you're going to receive all the effects and all the goods of the sacraments. And as she receives them from the church, she shall feel that it is the food that she possesses and that she takes in order to give complete glory to our God through those holy sacraments, whose source she possesses, this is the fiat, to glorify that very divine will that instituted them. Because in the divine will alone, there shall be perfect glory for all of our works. We haven't seen anything yet. This manifestation of the kingdom of God and those who want to live in the divine will, when that day comes, and it's coming soon, that this great miracle that's coming, we will give perfect glory to our Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all the glory, all that God has done. Volume 23, 10, 2, 19, 27. It happens to the soul as the accidents of the host, that though being matter, lends itself to let itself be animated by my sacramental life. As long as those same words are spoken by me in instituting the most holy sacrament that are pronounced by the priest. So here Jesus is saying the accidents of the host can be animated by the words of Jesus spoken by the priest. Okay, again, As Father Bucci said, it would be as foolish for a layperson to go to the altar and say, this is my body. We haven't got the host. Well, this is my body. This is my body. We got the host. He said, it doesn't work like that. It has to be pronounced by the priest, ontologically changed at ordination. And he says, it's the same thing with the divine will. The divine will is the first bread given to the priest. When you really read what Jesus is saying, read the role of the priest in the divine will. Read that book. The role of the priest in the divine will. And this is a sacrament of sacraments, Jesus says. And it's going to come through the Holy Church, through the priesthood. And Jesus says, I'm going to renovate my priesthood. And he says, it's going to be the priesthood that I wanted from the beginning. Not with the human failures, but with God ruling as King and Lord and Master in his priests. Wait till you see the miracles that are coming through the Holy Priesthood. It's going to astonish. That's why everyone will become Catholic. What Jesus is going to do with his priesthood. This is a glorious time to be alive. Don't be upset about what's happening. He's getting everything ready. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. Everything that's happening, Jesus is saying, choose what side you want to be on. And the priests are. We pray for the priests. We pray for the bishops. We pray for the cardinals. We pray for the Pope. Everything's going to work out in a way that's going to astonish the world. Wait till you see what Jesus has planned. He says, those were the words animated by my fiat, okay, at the Last Supper, that contained the creative power. And this is why the matter of the host undergoes the transubstantiation of the divine life. And one can pronounce as many words as one wants over the host. But if they are not those few words established by the fiat, my life remains in heaven and the host remains wretched matter that it is. It is only bread. So this happens within the soul. The soul can do and can say whatever she wants. But if my divine fiat does not run inside of these words, those are always finite and wretched things. On the other hand, for the soul who lives in the divine will, this is what God is calling us to. Her words, her works, her pains are like veils that hide the Creator. And the one who created heaven and earth makes use of these veils, makes use of them, works worthy of himself. See, because it's Jesus placing in them his divine sanctity, his creative power, his infinite love. This is what Peter did when he saw Jesus walking on the water. He says, if you are the Messiah, command me, take my prayer, make it your command. Jesus says, come. And he walked on the water. That's nothing compared to what's coming. What Jesus is going to do with the divine will, everyone will say, how do I become Catholic? How do I live this divine in the divine will? And Jesus, you'll see what's coming. Jesus will basically say to those souls, through the individuals living in the divine will, you have to be baptized to be in God's image. And then with Louisa, you can then enter into the likeness of God, which I breathed into Louisa. Placing them in sanctity of his sanctity, his creative power, his infinite mercy. Therefore, no one else, though he might do great things, can compare to that soul in whom my divine lives, reigns, and dominates. This is the book of heaven, to live in the divine will, to let the divine will reign in us, to let the divine will dominate in us. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam, and the new Eve. Volume 24, 416, 1928. Whenever the divinity wants to operate and even reproduce our very life, our fiat forms the echo. The echo creates and forms whatever we triune God want. Did you hear that? Whenever the divinity wants to operate and even reproduce our very life, it is our fiat that forms the echo. The fiat forms the echo that creates and forms whatever we triune God want. See also that in instituting the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, our fiat formed the echo. The echo invested the bread and the wine and formed in them the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Jesus. That echo still resounds in each host, and so my sacramental life is perpetuated continuously. God is going to take care of everything. And he's offering us an opportunity to be with him in the Blessed Sacrament. Volume 24, 6/12/1928. After this, since it was the feast of Corpus Domini, I was thinking to myself, Luisa says, that day, the feast of the marriage that Blessed Jesus did with souls and my most holy sacrament of love. So, you know, this is something that's important. The feast of Corpus Christi, the feast of, the feast of the marriage that Blessed Jesus did with souls and the most holy sacrament of love. Wait till you see that. That's for each and every one of us. He's proposing to us. And he wants us to begin to live this wedding feast before we go to heaven, which is the wedding feast. And my beloved Jesus, moving to my interior, told me, my daughter, the true marriage with humanity was done in creation. Nothing was lacking, neither to the soul, to the body. Everything was done with royal sumptuousness. The true marriage has already happened between God and man. My divine will that dominated humanity brought him the new continued act and the likeness of the one who had created him and married him. Okay, so the divine will now is bringing a new act, the likeness of the one, image and likeness now of the one who had created him and married him. But in such a great feast, man broke the strongest bond. Okay, Adam left God, divorced God, in which lay the whole validity of our marriage through which we had been enforced. Adam withdrew from our divine will. Because of this, the marriage was broken. And since all rights were lost, only the memory of it was left. But the substance, the life, the effects no longer existed. And Jesus says this, now, the sacrament of the Eucharist, in which my love overbounded all possible and imaginable ways, cannot be called either the first or the true marriage of creation. For I do nothing but the continuation of what I did while being on earth. According to the needs present in souls, with some I make myself a compassionate doctor in order to heal them. With some, the teacher to instruct them. With some, the father to forgive them. With some, the light to give them sight. I give strength to the weak, courage to the timid, peace to the restless. In some, I, God, continue my redemptive life and virtue. However, all these miseries exclude the true marriage. So here Jesus is saying very, very clearly, the Eucharist is to bring healing. He says, as a doctor heals, as a teacher instructs, as a father forgives, as light to give sight, strength to weakness, courage to the timid, peace to the restless. This is what my Eucharist does for those souls who want it. And by being in the presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, you're receiving this healing. He's healing us as Lord, as Master, as King, as Savior, as Doctor, as Teacher, as Father, as He gives us strength and courage and peace. He continues His redemptive life. He says, but all these miseries exclude all the weaknesses that we're going to exclude the true marriage that's coming again. This mystical marriage of the saints is only the beginning. Heaven is the wedding feast. So we'll end with a prayer. May name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.